So we started discussing the issue of when science and Torah collide, when there's a conflict between what the halacha says, what the Gemara says, and based on modern science, we find that the halacha is potentially based on an erroneous science. So what do we do? So the classic example given is always the Gemara in Shabbos about killing lice on Shabbos. The Gemara says you're allowed to, even though normally you're not allowed to kill animals on Shabbos, nevertheless, you can kill lice on Shabbos because she'eno paru rava, that it's spontaneous generation. They just grow from schmutz, from dirt, and therefore they're not considered living entities, therefore it's not a problem. So however, when Louis Pasteur, I think the beginning of the 18th century, whenever it was, he made the conclusion, people started doubting it before, but he was the final say that we no longer accept it, so therefore what do we do? So we explained yesterday the Pachad Yitzchak Rav Isaac Oprinty. He says, I'll tell you what you do, you stop killing lice on Shabbos. Now that we know lice grow from mommies, from eggs, so therefore it's no different than any other halacha, yeah.
Is that based on principle or based on going
lechumra? Right, so Pashas, he's saying it based on principle. Okay. That he's just saying is that, right, I mean you could, you know, have to see it, you know, I'd have to see it inside again and see it, but Pashas, right, because then the biggest chiddush would be say if he's saying now that you, I guess going lakua, if he's saying now that you can kill them, right, it's easy to be, but he seems to, based on his reason, he seems to say the Torah is vaday, but I guess it doesn't make a difference. It's easy when you're telling someone not koach de hetera adif. The koach, it takes someone much greater to permit something than someone to prohibit. It's easy to prohibit. If I'm not sure, to say it, and you could prohibit everything, but to say something's permitted, that takes a lot more. So yes, I think he was saying it b'toras vada, but here he didn't have to be. Even b'toras suffolk would have been enough. And he says you can't kill lice anymore. Rav Shlomo Zalman and also Rav Dessler, similar but different approaches, as we said. Rav Dessler had the case with the wildcat that the Gemara says if a wildcat caused someone, another animal, the animal becomes a drusa trefa, it's going to die within the year. So the Gemara said, why? Because the venom that it secretes into the person. But now we know that there is no venom. So therefore, the Rav Dessler said, okay, but the halacha is staying the same. Halacha is a tradition. So let's go to the scientists and come up with a reason. The scientists tell us the new reason is because it goes deep down, and after the dirt gets down, it causes an infection. So, in other words, we always take in modern science, but according to Rav Dessler, it doesn't change the halacha. The halacha doesn't change. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says something similar, a little different. He says that, no, of course everyone, of course Chazal knew that but there's no such thing as spontaneous generation or anything. They didn't know that. That, which is assuming now, which touches on a fundamental issue, which touches on the whole basis of the Shaila, is do I say, when the rabbis say something, is it just based on the medical advice of that generation? Like either because they went ahead and spoke to doctors or they were doctors? Or do I say no, that when they said a halacha, it wasn't just based on medical thing, it was based on a tradition. So the difference is, if it's just based on medical, okay, so the medical changes, so the halacha would change. But if you're telling me the halacha is based on something more than just the medical, so then it won't be as easy to change the halacha. So Rav Isaac Laprenti seems to be saying it's purely medical, and therefore when we find that the medical is wrong, it's not nothing to do with doubting the rabbis. The rabbis only knew as much as the scientists of that generation. That's a reasonable assumption to make, and we'll be coming back to that at a later time. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, we know the issue of eating bugs, that is a biblical prohibition to eat bugs. I'm swallowing many bugs as I'm talking, microscopic. And the answer is, the Torah only forbade something which we could see with the naked eye. Of course, that doesn't mean, I'll close my eye. Where's that broccoli? Where's that romaine? And, you can't do that. But assuming you have to, assuming also you know what a bug looks like and you'd see one, that's a whole discussion. It's a with a black dot on it. But assuming that basically it's not, assuming with checking it is not visible to the naked eye, so therefore that bug's not usur. If you need a microscope to see it, then it's a halakhically permitted bug. It's a kosher bug. It might taste the same, but it's kosher. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says no. So of course the rabbis knew, but what the Gemara is telling me a halachic reality. It's not telling me. It's not. Of course, there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. But it means to say is that we don't view these eggs as coming from a mommy. We don't consider these eggs at all. Because if it's something smaller that the naked eye can't even see them, they're so tiny. So halachically, it's not significant. And that's what it means, she'ino paro. Even though by us, even now, modern science knows, Guli Pasteur knows that it's not true. The Chacham always knew. But what he's saying is, halachically speaking, this is not considered significant. Therefore, the halacha doesn't change. Therefore, that's what the Gemara said. You kill lice on Shabbos. You're permitted to kill lice on Shabbos. See, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman saying, you know, akula. That no, you could still kill lice on Shabbos because of not spontaneous generation, but because they don't fit the halacha reality. Like we said, the guy who came with his tefillin and said he wasn't squared, because he's a dentist, so therefore to him, it's like his eyes are like using a special machinery, etc. Yeah.
What about like ants or something that are eating your food or?
So
that'd be permitted.
So crawling. So if you could see the ant, it's not. So all crawling things are prohibited, but don't.
Just lice.
No, I'm saying no. There's two things. There's a general prohibition. You can't eat. There's two different things. Lice you probably aren't kosher either, but I'm saying is lice.
I'm not talking about eating, I'm talking about the.
Oh, kill, you mean kill, yeah. So any type, it only applies to lice. But then in theory, you're right. If it's small enough where you couldn't see it, then anything similar in size to lice, in the sense that it's not visible to the naked eye, then it would be okay to kill it. But then again, how are you killing it? You're not going to be able to see. You know what it means to say, you know it's in there, but you can't see it because it's so small, so then you're allowed to do right. Then it's nothing special about lice. It was because the way we were learning before, it's a good point, it was something specific about, if you assume it's because they came from schmutz, that's specifically lice. But, you know, another ant, maybe it didn't. But the bottom line is, in terms of eating, you can't eat any of the bugs. But in terms of killing, you're right, it should be, it's a good question, it should be the same. It shouldn't be limited to lice. Any type of crawling thing that it's so tiny, you don't even see the eggs, and then, you know, that type of thing, yeah. So that was the second and third approach. So the fourth approach is from the Dor Revi. I think Rav Moshe Glasner, fourth generation from the, this is Chasim Sofer, Chazanich, one of them, Bizvamam, that's what they call him, the Dor Revi. He was a very independent thinker. And he has a lot of interesting chidushim, interesting novel ideas. We always like that. So what does he want to say? First, it's kind of similar to a Chazan Ish. That what he says is going to be, you don't have to put them together, but it seems to be similar to a Chazan Ish. So first let me tell you what the Dor Revi says, and I'll tell you what the Chazan Ish says. So he wants to say as follows. So the question he said you have to ask yourself is, not today, but Bizman HaGemara, when the rabbis lived in the Talmud, what did the science of the, what were the leading scientists saying about spontaneous generation, or for that matter, you know, any other type of issue we're talking about? So he says like this, if the Chachamim based it on the true science at the time, if the scientists said the spontaneous generation, and hence the rabbi said, you're allowed to kill lice. So then even today, that we know there's no spontaneous generation, but it doesn't make a difference, you're still allowed to kill lice. But he says, but if the rabbis based it on the scientists of that day, they messed up. That wasn't true. Like, if the scientists in the Gemara knew that there wasn't spontaneous, but they made a mistake, and to them it's not accepted. So Zachariah is looking here, So a lot of people don't like the distinction. As you say, like, what's the difference? Rav Shachter doesn't like the distinction. What's the difference whether they knew or not? Right now you know it's wrong, so I'll tell you. I mean, I'm not, you could like it or not, but I'll give you the logic of what he's saying. That's what I'm saying. It ties in with the Chazon Ish. Because, as we pointed out, we were discussing about list that based on Losasum and Adavar, you have to listen to the rabbis. Certainly when they tell you right is right and left is left, but even when they tell you right is left, left is right, they even no shofar on Shabbos, you know, whatever it means over there. So, and there's limitations to the power of the Chacham, and we said they can't uproot a mitzvah completely, they can't go against something explicitly written, etc. So, Rav Glasner says, so he's saying you don't listen to the, you know, let's say there's a, there was this professor, he actually wrote a book, he's an author, Herman Wouk. He wrote a couple of books, but one of the famous ones is the Cain Mutiny. I'll tell you about it in a second. So he was a professor at YU for a short period. So I guess he was teaching English, I guess, you know, in secular classes. And he was explaining to the students, you know why I got the name of the book Cain Mutiny from? I got it from Rashi and Chumash. First of all, what is Cain is the name of the ship. Mutiny is what happened on the ship. Apparently it was a movie also. I haven't read it, I haven't seen the movie. But my uncle told me, I think he saw the movie. Basically it's about the professor, you know, Mike Lester, I think he was telling me, that he saw it about the, basically it's about the ship, the captain going crazy. He didn't like the way the strawberries tasted or the pancakes. It is, you know, basically whatever acting Reed crazy was, but you know, so what we all know, on the ship, you listen to the captain no matter what. I guess same rule by a pilot, I guess. So kind of like, so where did he get there? He says, well, Rashi says, even if the rabbis tell you right is left, and see, what is it? You listen to the rabbis even if they're wrong. You listen to the captain or the pilot if they're wrong. So one of the students raised a hand. I guess you didn't learn the Ramban, because that's not what Rashi can't mean that, because it's against the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Harios. The Mishnah says, gets into many details, but if the based in Haggadah, based in the Paskin for Rov Chai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, for the Jews, and they come out with the wrong, they make a mistake, so they talk about bringing a carbon. They bring a carbon. Why? Because if you know they're wrong, you have to make a mistake, you're being a carbon. So the Ramban, right, he just puts in one word, Nirin Ke'enecha, in the word, if you think they're wrong, who cares what you think? This isn't talk radio, as I like to say. You know, talk, you know, a person calls in and says, oh, what do you think? And of course, the truth is you might even know more than the guy hosting the show. What does he know about anything? But the point being is, everyone's, you know, your opinion is no different than mine. All opinions are equal. That's Western society for many things. That's not the way Judaism works. Not, you know, everyone's not entitled to an opinion. You can have an opinion, but like in other words, when it comes to Shakespeare, and I say there are people, you know, you have a class, there are people with a PhD, they've spent 10 years learning Shakespeare, and some guy is hearing Shakespeare, he just opened the book for the first time ever, doesn't know anything about it. He said, oh, I know what he means. So laugh him out of there. Like, you're not even entitled. Like, until you study something about Shakespeare, that being said, doesn't mean he might not have a good insight, but that's not the point. I mean, he's probably talking nonsense, but maybe even if he's saying it's true, he could say it. But the point being is, he has no credibility. Like, you're not going to care what he has to say, because who cares? Like, you don't know anything about the topic, so I don't care. So, right.
In the world is opinion.
Exactly, yeah. So similarly, so when you give me, you know, so, you know, many people think, you know, the rabbis or whatever, they think they, you know, they don't learn, you know, never learn, you know, maybe they're sitting in shul, they hear the parasha, all of a sudden they become experts. You know, it doesn't mean you always want to learn more than that, but, you know, it's not, your opinion isn't the same as someone who studied the Bible for 20 years and went through it, he has the more background. But either way, the point being is, he says that if the, that if you're a Talmud Chacham, okay, you have a right to disagree. Then okay, I see it this way, and not maybe not with the base in Haggadah. Then you're a Zakei Mamre, you're rebellious. But you know, then you're entitled to your opinion. Then, but if you don't base, you don't know that much, and the rabbi knows a lot more than you, and you think the rabbi made a mistake, that's what it means. If you think right, I mean, he's saying right is right anyway. You, to you, it might look like right is left, and therefore, that's what it means. Or some might say, what do you mean right and left? You just, like, you just turn around, you're just looking at it the wrong way. But either way, so the Dor Ravi points out as follows. He says that, I think, so he's working, this is what I mean, he's working with the Chazon Ish. Because the question is, so what? The bottom line is, if we don't believe in, if we know spontaneous generation is wrong today, who cares if the scientists thought it was right then? Why should that be relevant? So perhaps based on the Chazon Ish says about, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there are 6,000, we have a tradition, there'll be 6,000 years. So the first 2,000, you know, before the Messiah will come. So the first 2,000 years are known as Tov Vavoh, this null and voidness. The two, between the year 2000 and 4,000 are known as the years of Torah. And the years between 4,000 and 6,000 are known as times of the Mashiach. So what does that mean? Like, you mean right now we're not learning Torah? You mean like, there's probably more in the past 100 years, there's probably more Svarim written than maybe ever, who knows? But so what does that mean? So the Chazon Ish explains, ulai, perhaps, is what it means. That, what's the, why, is, they figure what's the year 2000, give or take, is, that was the time when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi decided that he realized that you have to put the oral law into print. It was oral law for a reason, because oral we could talk. You ask me questions, we could figure it out. If we all three of us read something that someone wrote, we could say, like, what is that? We could all come up with three different interpretations. It's very unclear. So therefore, that's why oral law, that's the ideal. It's supposed to be oral, give and take, Rebbe and Talmud, and you clarify. So it's a discussion. So let's assume it was around the year 2000 that Rebbe put it down into print. And the Gemara says, or in the Ravina Ravashi Sof Hara, when the Gemara was finished, the Ravina Ravashi, at the end of the Gemara, Sof Hara, and you know, they wrote it down later on in terms of stuff, and stuff later on. So either way, they point out that we have a tradition, even though we don't argue generally on people in Judaism, we have a tradition, usually the earlier generation knows more than us. The modern thought, you know, we're learning more and more modern technology, I know much more than the other person. In Judaism, it's based on the tradition, so therefore the closer you are to Sinai, that we assume the better. Of course, there are exceptions of Vilna Gaon, he knew more, you know, but that's the general rule of thumb. The closer you are to Sinai, the better off you are in terms of, because each generation, the link gets weaker and weaker. You're only as good as your weakest link, as they say. So the bottom line, what the Chazon Ish says is, during the year of 2000 and 4000, certain principles in Torah were set up. And that was it. So let's say his example is a trefa. We're talking about a trefa means an animal that has a hole in its lung or somewhere, and it's going to die within the year. So we have a tradition to know. So the Chazon Ish says it was koveya during these years, 2000 and 4000, what animals are a trefa today, what animals aren't. Because the question is, because we see there's certain animals on that list that they say that trefas, yet they live more than a year. So the Chazon Ish, it doesn't make a difference. Halachically speaking, whatever was set up between the year 2000 and 4000, there was certain principles set up, those that remain forever. So we could take from the year 4000, we could take everything and take it to the next step, but we can't change the principle. We could add on to previous and add on and come up with new things, but not by changing it. Let's say in the Mishnah it says, why do we have to like 3 hours to say Shema? Because That's when the kings used to wake up. I know a lot of people wake up a lot later, but that was it. When you light, that was already koveh, that was set up. So the Chazon Ish has this discussion that certain principles were set up, and no matter what, even if we see it's different today, it doesn't make a difference. So the Dor Ravi seems to be working with the Chazon Ish. Because really one would say, who cares if they were right then? They're wrong now, and therefore the halacha, it should be like the Pachad Yitzchak said. But no, he seems to be working with the Chazon Ish that during that time period, the 2000 and 4000, the halacha was set up. So once they set up the halachic principle, so therefore, even if it appears to be wrong now based on science or other things, nevertheless, that principle remains. So Rav Moshe Glazer would say then since during the rabbis, during that time, got it right, meaning the scientists at the time and the rabbis said there was spontaneous generation. So even though today there is none, nevertheless, the halacha stays the same. So let's summarize. So we have the opinion of the Pachad Yitzchak seems to say, you're as good as your science. If there's spontaneous generation, then you can kill the lice. If you tell me there's none, then even the rabbis of Gemara would say you weren't allowed to do it. He has a simple principle. The Rav Dessler says, simple principle, but simple. Whatever the Gemara says is true, now you got to work backwards. Go ask the scientists to figure out why this is true. Either, as we said, if it went from venom, it went to disease, and maybe we'll need something else. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, the rabbis never believed in spontaneous generation. They just were saying it's so tiny, so it's not how luckily significant, but they knew that there were eggs here, not that they, that's what it means, Shaino Par of a Rava. And then you have Moshe Glasner that says that since he says they are right, that spontaneous generation was believed at the time of the Gemara, so the halacha was set up and koveya, and therefore you could still kill lice on Shabbos, even though today we have we don't have it. But if the rabbis would have, so it's been interesting, he's saying the rabbis could have been wrong, so therefore he's assuming in that sense, like the Pachad Yitzchak, that the rabbis are only basing it on their times, it's not based on a tradition, which would make a big difference, a big difference later on. So that's the issue of killing lice. We'll have to continue on this topic. Perhaps tomorrow we'll get into the issue of mitzitza bepeh, the issue of how, continuing our discussion of circumcision, or maybe both that fish and meat. We're going to go different examples where we see the halacha says, the Gemara says one thing, but based on modern science, it seems to be outdated. So how do we deal with it? How does the halacha deal with these type of changes? And we'll see. There'll be differences. They deal differently depending on what the issues are. You follow or not?
Yeah, I follow.
Yeah.